Now, I think for many of us who grew up, I don't want to say in the 90s, because I grew up in the 2000s. As you know, I'm only 26 years old, so I'm very young. But if if you grew up at a certain time, you would know the name uMamogcina Mhlophe, and you would have heard her stories. You would have listened intentively, whether it was on radio or watching it on television, telling a story and acting it out. Even on radio, you kind of got the feeling that if she said a lion was roaring, you kind of saw her using her claws or her fingers as claws to sort of get into the character. And of course, we are chatting here with her this morning. uMamogcina Mhlophe, good morning. Thank you so very much for joining us on the show.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much. It is absolutely an honor to be in a conversation with you this morning. And we're going to get into that very shortly. To you listening at home, actress, playwright, storyteller and author uMamogcina Mhlophe has released a batch of stories not only aimed at keeping children entertained, but also carries a message of compassion. The first batch of stories was 5 minutes long each and made available online. This time around, the stories will be accompanied by videos. Mama, once again, thank you so very much for joining us on the show. Maybe even before we get to your latest books or stories that you've released, tell us a little bit about uMamogcina Mhlophe. Who is uMamogcina Mhlophe, and how did she find herself having to be a storyteller?
Thank you. For me, the journey towards becoming a full-time storyteller was a winding journey, traveling and also working as a journalist. And then I got onto radio, I got onto newspaper magazines, and then into theater and a lot of international traveling. But I think in 1990, I kind of got the calling. Abantu abathwasayo, people who become traditional healers, they say they got the calling. I definitely think I got a calling as well to get into this thing called storytelling. I felt like I grew wings and began to fly, and I've never looked back.
And talking about your storytelling and your books, I have realized that they mainly focus on children. Is there a particular reason for that?
I do write for adults, yes, but there was a big gap in children's literature written by African, South Africans living in our own country. And there was a gap in terms of content as well, in terms of stories that our people could relate to. When I walked into bookshops in London, in Berlin, in New York and wherever, they had some bookshops dedicated to children only. And I got so jealous. I thought, what is this? Why don't we have this at home? I could do a bit of moaning, but you know how boring moaning can be. So I decided I can do something about it rather than moaning. So I got on with it. The first book I ever published was called The Snake with Seven Heads. And when that book was published by Scotterville Publishers, Mutobi Mutwatsi was the publishing, the managing director and publisher. And I don't know if you know Babu Gerard Sikoto.
Yes.
He was a fine artist. And it was so wonderful to have those names connected. And from there, I've never stopped. I perform stories on stage. I write them. I publish them. I record them on CD. We've gotten online. And so it's fascinating what journeys storytelling has taken me. We've performed with dance productions. Like when I first performed Love Child, the story itself, people saw the story and they expanded on its meaning, because it was at a time in the 1980s when the apartheid government would pay people to kill each other, black-on-black violence, it was called. And I wrote Love Child specifically to deal with that subject in storytelling idiom. And then Adele Blank, who's a choreographer, in fact living in Cape Town, asked me, why didn't you tell me you've written a story like this? Let's work together. And then she brought dancers, because she's a choreographer, and we performed Love Child at the Civic Theatre with the Zimngawana Jazz Band. And narration, I narrated the story, and that dancing was fabulous. The woman who performed, the young lady who performed Nomlambo, was from East London. What a dancer, what a beautiful actress. Wow. I watched magic happen on stage. It was no longer in my mind, me imagining and tuning in that USB into the mind of the audience. It was alive on stage in a different way. Same happens with animation. Like when I put an entry to the 26 countries that represented the animated tales of the world, sponsored by Right Angle for BBC, I put a story of how the tortoise won respect. And these Russian animators, when they animated the story, some of the characters I was talking about, they couldn't imagine them. I remember how they illustrated some of the characters. I was like, what is this? These people should have just taken a trip to South Africa, maybe.
Maybe. It is
never know. You never know.
Yeah.
It's always every individual interprets stories differently. It's like this, the magic of radio. You know, the magic of radio is something out of this world, timeless.
Fantastic. Now, Private Higher Education Mancosa School of Education has again partnered with Umamugcina, or rather Gcina Masiko's Arts and Heritage Trust, to get Umama Mhlophe to keep children captivated with her iconic voice and knack of storytelling. This is in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, and we are chatting to Umamugcina Mhlophe, telling us about her books and her stories that are coming out. Let's get down to the story. So what kind of stories can we expect? Maybe more on that.
Well, one of the stories I thought I should definitely include in this series is the story of Nozi Ncwadi, mother of books. Nozi Ncwadi is about a woman who couldn't read or write, but collected anything with words on it, and she encouraged children to read. And she ends up helping children who cannot afford to buy certain books. She has got a mango tree. She's got vegetables. She sells them in town. She lives alone, and she keeps whatever little money she has, but she has got enough compassion to buy a book for a child who has lost a school set work. And that child is not punished anymore. That child doesn't have to be suspended. They've got the book. They go back to school. And so that's one of the stories. And some of the stories also look at the importance of welcoming visitors in your home. You never know what they bring. And this particular book is a South African story as well. I find it so fascinating to tell stories, and you think you're telling them for children, and then the parents phone or email or there's a woman who heard one of the stories that I told on this series, and then I sent a little clip to a friend of mine, and that friend sent to another friend, and then she heard it. The next thing, I'm standing somewhere in the queue, and I'm checking my WhatsApp messages, and this person starts singing for me and says, the song says, there's always time for love, there's always time for caring, there's always time for compassion and supporting one another. Those are the words of the song she sang for me. I just got this WhatsApp message, this mother singing. How amazing is that?
Yeah.
There must be a ripple effect when we are talking about positivity. There must be a ripple effect when you talk about people who believe that education is so, so important. It's the multivitamin that every nation needs to grow in good and bad times. Mancosa is one of those institutions.
Yeah. Mamushop, one of the things that caught my eye when I read about this, it says that it was not just going to be aimed at now keeping children entertained and educated, but also there was a message of compassion. Tell us a bit more about that.
This compassion is what I'm talking about a woman who is not rich, who sells vegetables and fruit, but is able to put that little bit of money and buy a book for a child in need. And people who open their doors when they don't have much, but they say, you know, sometimes the poorest people are the most generous. And so that's some of the content you find in these books. And also you find that in the stories that I was reading, I looked at the illustrations. Some of the illustrations in the books are just, wow, look at what they've done. And when you show those pictures on these videos, people get the feeling that, you know what, that could be us. compassion is not only about feeling sorry for another person, it's about just caring for another human being. It's about to identify with someone else, to say, you know, where you are, I feel you. And so in these times of coronavirus, where people are stuck at home, where children cannot go to school, where some people are losing their jobs, these stories can be a healing balm, and we need to tell more stories. I encourage people to tell stories. So for me, that's what it is.
Yeah.
The operative word in my work is sharing. If I can share stories, I hope that people can be inspired to remember stories, to create new stories, to share them.
And stories do stick, do remain with you for the rest of your life. That one story or one book that you read will always be with you the rest of your life and sort of shapes how you live your life. Mama, so for those that are looking to get a hold of your stories, how can they access them?
The stories are becoming available in different spaces now. Yes, people buy them at bookshops. Exclusive books, and there's another bookshop I love in Cape Town, Clark's Bookstore. Here in Durban, we also have Adam's Bookshop, but people are at home mostly, so people buy books online, and so that is also wonderful. And on our organization, Masiko Arts and Heritage Trust, on our website, we've also made it possible for people to log in and see how they can access books. So they are available in different spaces. And the CD, Songs and Stories of Africa, is available in three languages, in English, isiZulu, and isiXhosa. And parents are loving that because when they listen to the CD and they sing along to the songs, I work with my beautiful brother, Beggy Khoza, the guitarist. We release this CD together. And so when parents listen to these stories over and over, they are able then to say, okay, that reminds me of a story I heard as a child. That reminds me of a story that I thought I had forgotten. So if I can wake up stories in other people in this manner, mission accomplished.
Oh, we're fantastic. Just before we let you go, I was thinking to myself, and I think it was 2 weeks ago when I was asking on social media and with people I know if they know of any isiXhosa or Zulu cartoons on any channel. And it was interesting to see how many people were thirsty for it and that there was nothing, no content available unless you went onto YouTube. But hey, that's a conversation for another day when I'm on. Just before we let you go, in just under a minute, what message would you like to give to the Cape Talk listeners?
I say things are hard. We are feeling like this ugly man, I call him Corona Indotembi. Corona, the ugly, is harvesting lives. But let's sympathize, let's love, let's care for one another. And so compassion, I would say let's also be grateful for the little that we have. Let's be patriotic in a manner that is dignified and respectful of one another. And please, goodness me, stop killing women and children.
Mama, thank you so very much for joining us on the show. A very, very good morning to you.
A good morning to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that is actress, playwright, storyteller, and author, Gqi Namhlophe.